Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. I'll have to educate Brother Rice a little bit here. That Calabretta is an Italian name.
Oh.
And all four of my relatives came right from Italy. My grandmother didn't even speak English on my father's side. So the only way I could get more Italian is to be born there, brother. So, but the Italian band, amen. Praise the Lord for that. I appreciate that. And thank you for the privilege of being able to preach. And I thank you, Brother Rice, for hosting the meetings. As long as I've been in Ithaca, we still haven't gotten a building. Maybe someday God will give us a building. That would be a great thing. But we still meet in a motel. And that's how God's worked things out. So praise the Lord. I appreciate that. I don't know if you heard about this, but one of the ranking officers of ISIS, able to call, he called that Dr. Ben Carson. I don't know if you people know about Dr. Ben Carson. I don't know how he got his phone number. Don't ask me that. But he got a hold of him. And he said to him, "I had a dream about the United States. I could see the whole country and every building, and over every building and over every home there was a banner." And of course, what was on the banner, Carson asked. "Long live ISIS," is what this rebel answered. Dr. Carson said, "I'm so glad you called." He said, "It's amazing. I too had a dream. In my dream, I saw Iraq, and it was more beautiful than ever, totally rebuilt with many tall, gleaming office buildings, large residential subdivisions with swimming pools in every yard, and over every building and home was a big, beautiful banner." Well, the officer said, "What did the banner say?" And Dr. Carson said, "I don't know. I can't read Hebrew." Amen. Kind of reminds me of there were a couple of Jewish men. They decided to try out a Mexican restaurant. And so they went in a Mexican restaurant and, you know, had ordered their food. And they got talking a little bit. And they said, "You know, Jewish people are all around the world. I wonder if there's any Jewish people in Mexico. I wonder if there are any Mexican Jews." And so we're talking about that. So they stopped the waiter as he went by. And they said to him, "Do you have any Mexican Jews?" And he said, "I don't know. I'll see." Then, of course, he went off into the kitchen and that kind of thing and came back out and he said to him, "Nope, we don't have any Mexican Jews." And they got thinking about it. They're still waiting for their food. They said, "There's got to be. I mean, we're everywhere. I mean, we're in South America. We're in, you know, we're just everywhere. There's got to be." So they stopped him again and said, "Look, are you sure you don't have any Mexican Jews?" He said, "I'll ask again." So he went back in the kitchen. He came out. He said, "I talked to the dishwasher. I talked to the cook. I talked to the owner. They said, we've got orange juice. We've got tomato juice. We've got apple juice. But we don't have any Mexican juice." Amen. Dear ones, take your Bible if you would. We're not here for that. We're here to get something from the Word of God. Amen? Take your Bible and open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, if you would. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verse 9 through verse 12. And if you believe that you have in your hands the very words of God, would you stand in honor of those words as they did in the Old Testament? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. God's word says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for being able to stand here. I'm not worthy. It's not that I have anything that any of these other good men that are called by you would have. So, Lord, it's your word that's going to do anything in their hearts. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint me again so that I might be able to give forth something that would be good and useful for everyone that's here. For Lord, the good message we just heard from Brother Malucci Amen. Encourages our heart. Yeah. We as pastors need to be encouraged. Mm-hmm. For if we go down, our congregation goes down. And so we just need you. I pray that you would just enlighten us. Lord, as the psalmist said, open our eyes that we may behold great and wondrous things out of thy law. And so we just love you and need you. And may this be a time of encouragement for us. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've titled this message, God Does Not Forget. Now, I'm sure that around the lunch tables, good, got somebody saying amen out the door. Praise the Lord. Amen. I get to preach to all God's creatures. Amen. Even yappy. Amen. Good. But at the lunch tables, I imagine that there's going to be quite a buzz about me picking the book of Hebrews. And, of course, my text, Hebrews chapter 6. You're going to be talking, you know, did Paul write Hebrews, or was it Barnabas, or was it Apollos? And then some of you are going to be talking about is Hebrews for the church age, or just for tribulation Jews, and you know, all that kind of thing. And then chapter 6, oh, wow, we look at chapter 6, and we see there, if they fall away, there, verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, oh, you know, and then there's going to be all this about, you know, what's taking place here? Do people lose their salvation? Were they never saved? All that stuff. Well, you talk about it. That's not what I'm going to talk about. Amen? I'll let you all figure that out. Amen? I'm taking a look here because verse 9 says, but, and it changes things. Amen? Yeah. Anytime you have a but there, it changes things. And then it says, beloved. Isn't that an incredible word? This is the only place in the book of Hebrews the word beloved comes out. And I think we are beloved, as Brother Malucci pointed out here, that we are beloved of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And what we want to take a look at, though, in verse 10 it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And sometimes we need to remember that, and that's a good thing for us. Rather than get discouraged, and we do, amen, rather than get discouraged, we need to, not let the devil defeat us, but we need to remember that God does not forget your work and labor of love. That's important. If you leave here with nothing more than that, that God does not forget your work of labor, of love that you have. And so remember that, if you would. And we can count on that because here's number one. What we do are things which accompany salvation. Yes. What we do are things which accompany salvation. Verse 9 talks about that. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Isn't that a great thing? When we look at one another, we need to be persuaded better things of you. You know, the world says terrible things about us, you know, but there are better things of us. Amen. We're about the work and labor of love that God's given to us. And so we're about these things that accompany salvation. And that's important for us. Now, some would look at, and rightly so, think things like that accompany salvation, like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As soon as I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I got the full Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't have to wait until sometime later. I got all of the Holy Spirit, and so did you. Yeah, what a wonderful thing that we have. I mean, that's a great thing. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. And, of course, the seal that He puts on us, that's a great thing that accompanies salvation. I'm glad for that. I don't notice it, but the spirit world does. That's why the devil attacks us more that have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Because we have that mark on us. We have that seal of the Holy Spirit. Accompanying salvation, becoming a new creature in Christ. I'm glad for that. What I got saved from, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm glad I'm a new creature in Christ. You'd be glad I'm a new creature in Christ. If I came to your church when I was lost, you wouldn't want me there. Amen. God worked on it. We get a security in our salvation. That comes along as well. That the Spirit itself beareth witness that we are the children of God. I like that. I'm glad for that. So it's no wonder that we're beloved. Amen. All those kinds of things. But the better things, for God does not forget here. We're persuaded better things of you. And so there's some better things that we need to look at that we're about here. When he saved us, and that is good that he did, he's not going to forget about us. We just need to understand that. He worked that hard to save us. He's not going to forget about us. If he ever forgets about us, boy, does he forget about our salvation too? Boy, we'd be most miserable, amen, if he forgot about that. Well, he doesn't. So we're glad about that. Here's some of the things that we need to look at. We've got a belief in the Bible and follow it and live it. These things that accompany salvation. I didn't get saved by, some trick or something. We had a man in our church that went out and he talked to a guy, and I know he was trying to tell him something about, this is a gift of salvation. And so he gave the guy a nickel. And he said, now see, this nickel is a gift. And so the guy came to our church and he said, I still have my nickel. Well, I've got the Word of God. Amen. Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I got saved by the Word of God. For God so loved the world is an easy one, but John 3:16. But I think John 3:36 was more important in my life. He that believeth on the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, folks, I was a hippie of the hippies. Just understand that. And I worked for a while at a pancake house, and I worked the whole midnight shift and got off in the morning time. And here I am, a hippie with long hair, and I was a busboy, dishwasher. And, you get this big spray thing, and you're spraying off everything. And I had food in my hair, and I stunk. And hippies never die. They just smell like they do. You stunk, and I got flies buzzing around my head and everything. And I got thinking about that stink and everything that was on me, the wrath of God abides on me. I mean, it's right there on me. Oh, me, oh, my. A belief in the Bible, and we follow it. We live by its truth. Amen? That's the book. And then we also have to have a disgust of sin in our lives. And not only in our own lives, but that around us. There's more people die by abortion than any other thing in our country. Yeah. That's a sad thing. It ought to make us angry. Amen. And we're angry at our own sin. Of course, you and I, all we have to do is look in the mirror, see about the sin in our life. And I'm saved from sin. Amen. We're saved, and we're thankful for that. And we know that sin brings God's hand upon us until we repent. And we ought to be upset about sin in our life. Amen? And, of course, it causes us to lose rewards. Yeah, that's a terrible thing when we sin. So we don't want to do that. But also accompanying salvation, it makes us have a continual repentance. That's a willingness always to repent. There in the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, and I'll just read it because I want to make sure I get it right. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. I sure hope there's 26 chapters. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do that, brother. I do that same thing in my church. You can ask my sound man that records me all the time. I goof up all the time. But in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, the Apostle Paul there is before King Agrippa, and he says to him, "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God." That's what repenting is, amen, to turn from, turn to God, "and do works meet for repentance." And oh, we never stop having that attitude of repentance. Lord, you show me something, I'm going to confess it, I'm going to repent of it, I don't want to do it anymore. Keep showing me things in my life that are wrong. Keep showing me things that I need to get rid of. And then another thing that accompanies this salvation is our desire to tell others how they too can find forgiveness and gain heaven. You know, that's part of what we get when we get saved. You just have an excitement about it. Brother, you did a good job telling us about that. And that's a great thing for us to do. You know, I'm thinking about putting on the outside of that motel door a little sign, you know, "Free trip to heaven. Details inside." Amen? I want to put that on there. That'd be a good thing. But we love telling people about Jesus Christ. That accompanies, you know, that salvation. And we need to do that. You know, I heard about, or I shouldn't say heard, I read about an old Indian man that was telling everybody he could about Jesus Christ. Telling everybody. Finally, you know, some other Indian said to him, Why, old man, do you keep telling people about Jesus Christ?" And the old Indian didn't say anything. He just went over, it was a bush, and he grabbed a caterpillar off the bush, and he held it with one hand, and he took some sticks and dried grass, and he made a circle of the sticks and dried grass there, and then he put the caterpillar in the middle of it. And then he set on fire all the grass and the sticks that he put in that circle. Of course, that caterpillar ran around. Finally, that caterpillar just stuck his head up in the center of all that ring of fire. And the old Indian put his finger down there and let that caterpillar walk up on his finger. And he said, "You know, that's what God did for me. I was in that fire, headed for hell, and he pulled me out." And he's got something to tell about. So, you know, we know that God will not forget your work and labor of love because what we do are things which accompany salvation. But secondly, what we do are things which minister to the saints. Verse number 10, things which we do that minister to the saints. When you see the wording of verse 10, you realize that God's saying that his own righteousness would come into question if he forgot what you and I do. It says there, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." So his righteousness would be in question if he ever forgot what you and I are doing. I mean, whatever it is, some of you, here's, we've got an evangelist with us, the miles on the road, that's not fun time. He's not out just camping, folks. That's hard, hard work. Amen. It's hard. We've got a missionary with us. Other evangelists are with us. You know, that's hard work. That's what it is. It really is. And as pastors, it's hard work giving out to people week after week after week. It's hard work. His righteousness would be in question if he ever forgot even one of the good works that we do for him in his name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember those things. You know, we can do a whole lot of things for our name. You know, what's kind of nice about meeting in a motel, there's nothing outside says my name on it. You know, it's got Hilton's name on it, but not my name. You know, old Conrad, he can get the glory if he wants, but amen, I don't care. But, you know, we want to do it for God's glory, amen, this work and labor of love. And we love our work. I hope that you do. I hope every time that you sit down and have to study, you love studying the Word of God. You know, you love looking into what does it say. How does Scripture compare with Scripture? I hope you love that part of it. Amen? And then love that people are growing in the Lord. That's a great thing to watch. That's exciting to watch. It really is. And, you know, we love that labor that we do. God is righteous. Just a couple pages back here to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, we read this: "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." But I like that idea that's in here, the Lord, the righteous judge. And that's who we're talking about here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." You know, his righteousness is at stake. Our being in the ministry is to be a labor of love. It's what it ought to be. If you go backward toward Revelation, you'll get there to 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you would, I want to read verse 1 through 4, very familiar to every pastor that's in here. Probably this was read at your ordination, or at your installation, or at your, I don't know, some other station, whatever. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 5, the first four verses: "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." You know, the age I'm getting to be, Brother Hinman, I'm starting to think I'm an elder. You know? Amen, Brother Brasser? Do you think we're getting close to being an elder yet? I don't know. Or am I speaking for myself up here? I don't know.
Young fellow.
Yeah. Amen.
You are.
Yes, I'm older. Yeah. You know, "who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." He's not going to forget. He will not. God does not forget what you're doing. He doesn't forget. And I'm glad for that. Amen. I really am glad for that. And it needs to be a labor of love. I love my people. I love my ministry to them. And that's always a great thing. And so it needs to be a labor of love, but it also needs to glorify the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, which have showed toward his name. You know, it needs to be to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2, it says this. I should know it. I should have it memorized, but I'd rather read it, make sure I get it exactly right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified."
Yeah, amen.
Amen. You know, to glorify his name, which ye have showed toward his name. There's no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved.
Amen. Amen.
And we're doing this. If we're going to minister to the saints, we have to do it to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we minister to the saints, it's, you know, that's what we have to be doing, is ministering to the saints. We're not out, you know, trying to raise political awareness unless it ministers. You know, we've got Brother Tom Stiles here, and it is important. But, you know, there in Ferguson, Missouri, Jesse Jackson showed up. I'm not quite sure which church he pastors, but, you know, he calls himself the Reverend Jesse Jackson. You know, what's he doing? You know, I heard he got booed. He was trying to raise money, and they booed him. You know? Yeah, I thought, okay, maybe they're catching on, you know. But, you know, that's not ministering to the saints. You know, ministering to the saints is doing for them. I look at it this way. I look at myself as a servant. And to me, the definition of a servant is one who makes someone else a success. And that's all that I am. I'm just a servant. I'm trying to make all of my people a success. So that when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll say to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to do. That's how I'm ministering to them. And we need to do that. And of course, the other, you know, some people are out there trying to get millions of dollars for their best-selling book. You know, I think Brother Rice got a couple books back there that are his. But he's not out trying to get the money. He wants to minister to the saints with it. And there's a difference, amen? There really is a difference. All of you know, as pastors, you all know Ephesians chapter 4. But I want to go there again and just read there verse 11 through 14, that we'd be refreshed and reminded of what our ministry is all about. And Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what our ministry is about. Amen? That's what we're trying to do for people. But remember that God does not forget your work and labor of love, because what we do, thirdly, are things which give full assurance, verse 11 and 12. Things which give full assurance. You notice there at the end of verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 6, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And then it goes on, that you be not slothful. You say, well, Pastor Caleb read it nice. I'm glad you preached, but just leave verse 12 out. Amen? Amen. Yeah. You know, when the Bible speaks about hope, it speaks of it in the sense of a sure thing. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I hope I can go to the next pastor's fellowship. You know, I hope, you know, well, that's kind of nebulous, kind of up in the air. It's, you know, but that's not how the Bible speaks of it. There, if you back up a little bit to Titus, then you all know where I'm going with this. Here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. You see, they're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, I think sometimes one more tunnel over there in Israel, we'll be out of here. Amen? Amen? You know, just my, oh my, oh my. We're that close. I really think we are. And we have that blessed hope. Amen? And so we have a full assurance of hope unto the end. And I'm glad for that. God wants us to give others the same hope in Jesus that we have. You know, we've got great hope in Jesus. We that know what the Word of God says, we understand that we're going to be able to stand there with Jesus Christ one day. It's going to be incredible. It really is. To see Him, whew, wow. It's going to be great. Yeah. Now, we've got some loved ones that have gone on ahead, but you know what? I'm probably going to say, you know, hey, thank you, but I'll be right back. I got to go see Jesus first. Amen? I'll go see my Savior, one who loved me that much, died for me, and shed His blood for me. Oh, my, oh, my. That kind of hope that we have. We've got a full assurance of the hope. And a full assurance, isn't that something? I would think assurance is full enough. I would think. But he says that we have a full assurance. I mean, from cover to cover in this book, it gives us a full assurance. And it's because all the things that it ever has prophesied about have come true, and that are supposed to, and they will come true. So we get a full assurance here. It's stronger knowledge and faith in the rewards of heaven. Oh, what things are going to be ours. It's just going to be incredible. You have no idea. You know, you really have no idea what kinds of ways Jesus Christ is going to bless us, give us rewards for our labor of love that we have, our work and labor of love. What things we're going to get, oh my. It's going to be incredible.
Amen.
And we'll know we don't deserve them, but He'll give them. And you know, I look at all the crowns, and we've looked at a couple of places where Jesus is going to give out crowns. I think every single crown that we get, when you look at the crowns, if you study them, they're all because of what Jesus has done in us.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going to take them off and cast them at His feet. Because He did it in us and through us and that kind of thing. And so I'm thankful for that that full assurance, you know. You know, isn't it something that assurance has the word sure in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And so assurance seems sure and full means every thought, every dream, every meditation, all our worship is settled on the finished work of Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary for us. Verse 11 there talked about the fact, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. But then verse 12 says that ye be not slothful. And I see a contrast between those two words. We either can be diligent on the one hand or we can be slothful on the other. And it's something that we have to be careful about. Hey, in our computer age, we've got a screen for something and everything and all that kind of thing. We can find so much that it doesn't have much labor to it anymore. Yeah, we can just, you know, I think there's probably somewhere out there, I've never looked for it, but I bet there's something out there, sermon for the day. Amen? Yeah. And you could get an outline for something, I'm sure you could, And then you just download it onto your iPad, bring that in, and set it on the pulpit, and just read what's right there, And then you might wonder, what is he talking about? I don't know. because it isn't yours, amen. But yeah, we can be slothful. We have to be careful about that. And we need to be diligent. We need to walk, because it says there in verse 12, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We need to walk as those who have gone before us in faith and in patience. And Hebrews, just a couple of pages, you get to chapter 11. And we've got that hall of fame or faith there that is just incredible. They inherited their promises, amen? And just as sure as everyone that's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 inherited those promises, we're going to inherit all the things God's got for us. Because God does not forget. He does not forget. We forget things, especially at my age. Amen? But God does not forget. Dear ones, He does not forget all of those things. And we need to keep that in mind, that He does not forget your work and labor of love. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, thank you again that we look at something about you, that in your righteousness you always will remember everything that we've done, that you will not forget our work and labor of love. And all of us that are in the room, the pastors, the pastors' wives, the members that are here of this church and other churches, we have a labor, a work that we're doing for you. That's why you left us here. Lord, if you didn't want us to work for you, you'd have just taken us the moment we asked Jesus to be Savior. But you've left us to do a work. And our work might be small, might be big, might be something people see, might be something no one ever sees. But we're thankful, dear God, that you always see and that you'll never forget. And we thank you for that. Just encourage our hearts. Thank you for these people looking and listening. May their hearts be lifted up because of the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Brother Calabretta. That's a tremendous message. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. Let's have the pastors, missionaries.